It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Made in the USA. Remember in the old days, they used to have Made in the USA? No longer are we going to allow other countries to break the rules, steal our jobs, and drain our wealth. We must lower the tax on business, one of the highest in the world, and we must repeal job-killing Obamacare. We have to do that. We hope John McCain gets better very soon, because we miss him. He's a crusty voice in Washington. Plus, we need his vote.
This is Sandy Rios. Actually, there's good news this morning. I know we so seldom have it, but we have it. And I'm going to talk about this. This is Made in America week, or next 2 weeks, for the president. And I'm going to talk about that. But I have to say, before I get into that, the next thing I'm going to talk about is the fact that the Republicans could not pass that dreadful bill. I'm telling you, I am ecstatic about that. They could not pass it. Now, I know some of you are not so ecstatic about it, and certainly some Republicans don't embrace my excitement, but I'm really glad about that. Coming on the heels of the conversation with Dr. Coburn last week, former Senator Coburn, explaining that these private entities are working on jumping in here and making healthcare make sense in America, I'm really happy. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Okay, first things first. So the president had, you know, while they're printing all of these stories about how his poll numbers are going down and what a disaster and Russia, he's actually busy. Like from morning till night, this man is busy. And so yesterday they brought all kinds of even tractors, big rigs on the lawn of the White House, Gibson guitars, Maryland crab pots, Delaware-made NASA spacesuit, Cheerwine soda, and on it goes. And the idea is to feature products made in America. Some of you will remember that that used to be a very big deal. Buy American. Was that the 60s? Where, you know, don't buy foreign products, buy American. That's what we did. And it was considered really un-American to buy a foreign car. I know some of you probably think, what? Are you kidding me? But yes, we just bought GM products and Chrysler and Ford, and, you know, we bought American because it was a sense of we knew what we were doing. We were focusing on America first. What an interesting thought. What a strange thought now, you know, for the globalists, you know, a little bit too much for them to take. However, I digress. The president picked up a bat and he just had a great time, I guess. Let me read this. This is a report from Reuters. President Donald Trump promised on Monday he would take more legal and regulatory steps during the next 6 months to protect American manufacturers, lashing out against trade deals and trade practices he said have hurt U.S. companies. He climbed onto that American-made fire truck parked behind the White House. He took a swing with a baseball bat in the blue room and briefly donned a customized Stetson cowboy hat in front of cheering manufacturing company executives from all 50 states gathered to hear him praise their products. Now, but here's the thing. I mean, this is funny, and I recognize this is what he understands. It's marketing, and this is what Republicans basically. The Democrats understand it too, but the Republican leadership has been horrible at this. He's a champ. He's really good at this, but there is substance here, and that's the part I want to get to. He said to them, "I want to make a pledge to each and every one of you. No longer are we going to allow other countries to break the rules, steal our jobs, and drain our wealth." And so he laid out details on this. He wants to revise the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. He also wants to review options to restrict steel imports. He also said that includes cracking down on the predatory online sales of foreign goods, which is absolutely killing our shoppers and our shopping centers. If you look at what's going on with shopping centers and stores and jobs, it's been very, very tough for them. They've had a hard time closing at numbers and records that I've never seen before. Gibson, and so anyway, then he says, the last thing I'm going to read here, he says, but at the he told the manufacturers that he was working for a level playing field for their wares. But if the playing field were slanted like a little bit toward us, I'd accept that also. So that's what he's doing. You're going to hear at least some about it. I guess it depends on what you watch. You'll hear it on Fox. And I hope to have a chance to mention this too. I think this is actually very, very cool to celebrate products made in America and to put a stop to really draining our economy with foreign interests. And even, you know, while American, big moneyed Americans, and I have no problem with there being big money. I just have problems when people are making big money because they're hurting the economy and they're doing business elsewhere and they're enriching themselves by hurting the country. That's not the kind of capitalism that I grew up to believe in. And so, again, I think that business people have been brainwashed, really. I've heard many of them that are my friends talk about, you know, free trade, like it's like the first commandment, you know, out of 10. And I just think free trade, I'm not against free trade by other descriptions, but when it hurts your country, I'm not in favor of it. I think there has to be some balance. All right, let me get to a story number two because, wow, this is amazing. Okay, let's let Kristen Fisher tell the first part of the story, then I'm going to weigh in on some details. Here it is from Fox this morning.
They're trying to revive an old plan, turn it into something new, but make no mistake, guys, this is a major blow for President Trump and for Republicans on Capitol Hill. They have been trying to repeal and replace Obamacare for nearly 7 years now. And President Trump, this has been at the very top of his agenda for almost 6 months now. Now that effort has essentially flatlined after two more Republican senators said they simply could not vote for this Senate bill. Senators Mike Lee and Jerry Moran, that's four no votes total for GOP from GOP senators, two more than Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell could afford. So that meant the bill was dead. He pulled it last night, and in a statement, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, regretfully, it is now apparent that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failure of Obamacare will not be successful. Shortly after, President Trump weighed in on Twitter, quote, Republicans should just repeal failing Obamacare now and work on a new health care plan that will start from a clean slate. Dems will join in. Now, all of this went down right around the same time that President Trump was hosting several other Republican senators for dinner at the White House. The plan now, as you guys referenced, repeal now and replace later. McConnell is now pushing to repeal with a two-year phase out, a plan that was first floated back in 2015. But Senator John McCain, who, remember, this is why this whole vote was delayed to begin with, Senator John McCain is now weighing in and saying that whatever happens, there needs to be bipartisan support. Quote, the Congress must now return to regular order, hold hearings, receive input from members of both parties, and heed the recommendations of our nation's governors so that we can produce a bill that finally provides Americans with access to quality and affordable health care. So, guys, two failed attempts, but hey, hopefully third's the charm, right?
All right, Kristen Fisher from Fox. All right. So this is it's a two-time failure for Mitch McConnell. And, of course, what he's been trying to do is craft this bill with lobbyists on K Street who have healthcare interests and pharmaceutical companies. It's really been unseemly, I have to say. And the bill that McConnell has been pushing, as we've said repeatedly, I will repeat, did not repeal Obamacare. Remember that clip? I think we played it just a few days ago where Mitch McConnell said, we're going to repeal Obamacare, root and branch, you know, but he didn't really mean it. And so he hasn't been doing that. They've been crafting a plan, and then they brought it forward, and so then they've got a problem because liberal Republicans, moderate, forget it, they're liberals. Susan Collins is the one stalwart holding out against a conservative proposed by Ted Cruz, and we've talked about this. It's where Obamacare would stay in place to some extent, but the free market would offer other plans and people could have a choice. So basically the people that there would be a choice and that would bring down the prices for people who have a choice And Susan Collins says that's a non-starter. She won't vote for this bill if that's in there. So you see where this is going. You've got the liberal Republicans against the two or three, maybe four, conservative Republicans. It had all these deals that were done with to get Lisa Murkowski's vote and Marco Rubio's also. Deals giving, bringing Florida benefits, bringing Alaska benefits, and there was one other senator that allegedly was bought off for their vote. This is how it happened, you see. This is making the sausage. So, but the bill itself, was it wouldn't be good for us. It would have kept Obamacare in place, and that the high taxes on high-income earners, it would not have reduced premiums that much. And so it would have been just another iteration of socialized medicine. I don't know how else to say it. So now, interestingly enough, you heard Kristen say that President Trump tweeted out that they should do full repeal. And then McConnell jumped out and said we should do full repeal. And so to me, and so they would do, what they're proposing is voting on straight repeal with a two-year delay in implementation. Now, here's the complication. You know, it's never easy, so don't expect, you know, this to go smoothly. The problem are these two things. People that I know are saying, well, now, are they talking about the exact 2015 bill because that did not fully repeal? Or are they talking about a new bill that would fully repeal and the two-year delay? I don't know. I can't get an answer to that yet. I couldn't get it before I went on the air. Second obstacle is that if Mitch McConnell insists on using, honoring the filibuster procedure on voting, they would have to have 60 votes to vote on this, and they're not going to get that. So that's the other obstacle to this. I don't know if he just knows that and he doesn't care, and this is, you know, how he can try his little special private plan one more time. I don't know. Right now, I actually think this is a godsend. I really do. They've stopped it. It's been stopped. This bad bill has been stopped. I'm really happy about that. And Mike Lee was the other senator who said, he's pulling out. So did Jerry Moran in Kansas. You know, Jerry Moran is not all that conservative, may I add. But he's in from a conservative state. So I would think that the people of Kansas were kind of in favor of repealing Obamacare. All right. I have something important to kind of lay the groundwork on here. So the two things, the Made in America campaign, I think is fabulous. And I think it's great that the Senate health care bill went down. I just am. So we'll see what happens next. And it's probably not going to go. Who knows? Well, when you follow this stuff, you know, if you let your moods be, which I do, I confess to you, my hands up in the air, my moods do rise and fall with the news. And so you can imagine in a day's time, they're all over the place. This morning I'm encouraged because at least it's a step to saving America from horrendous health care. And I'm just hoping and praying that the free market can jump in there quickly enough to steal away Americans' attentions and help them to regain their understanding of what a free market, a system actually looks like. That's what we should be all about. All right, I've got something really interesting for you coming up next. Many of you know that a Clinton Foundation witness was allegedly killed himself over the weekend. We talked about it briefly yesterday. He was a former Haitian government official. And many of you ask me if that was the same gentleman that I interviewed about a year ago. No, not quite. Maybe 9 months ago. The former president of the Haitian Senate. It was not. Bernard is going to join us in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about this untimely death of suicide of Kyle Seberwine. And also get an update on what's happened in Haiti in the ensuing months since he gave us that nightmare scenario of how the Clintons had absolutely destroyed his country. Has that changed? What's the update on that? And what is the story, as far as he can tell us, about Klaus Eberwein and his supposed suicide? So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm
Ryan DeFrates. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrates' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrates' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did whales come from?
Good question, Chris. Evolution teaches that a land animal evolved into a whale. Darwin thought it might be bears. More recently, it was thought that a cow-like animal evolved into whales, then a wolf-like animal. There's so little fossil support for any of them. The new field of genomics points out that the hippo's DNA is the most similar to whales, and so that's the favored one now. The point is, the evidence for evolution is minimal at best. Often, the stories that they tell are self-contradictory and poorly supported by evidence. The one idea that fits all the evidence is the scriptural idea that God created sea creatures on day 5 and land creatures on day 6, each one after their kind, without evolutionary transitions. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
From Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, comes word of a kerfuffle. Some 500 teenagers, some as young as 12 years old, clashed with police over the weekend. The young people had been gathered at a local community center, but when workers closed the swimming pool and the basketball courts, chaos erupted. Police were summoned. Local news reports indicate the children refused to obey orders to disperse. At some point, they began hurling bottles at the police. Not a single person was arrested, not one. In order to maintain the peace and prevent the violence from spreading, the police urged local Chinese restaurants to close their doors. Quite frankly, every child who refused to obey the police should have been hauled off to jail. But as it now stands, the only people who were punished were the law-abiding citizens of Philadelphia who wanted to order Kung Pao chicken. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The first glimpse of the coastal communities hit hardest by Hurricane Matthew, a maroon from the rest of the country for the past 48 hours. This is what's left of Jeremy, the home to 31,000 people, a place known as Haiti's City of Poets. But now it's become ground zero in this humanitarian crisis, and much of it looks like a scrap heap. The destruction is almost complete. About 80% of the buildings have been destroyed. Antoine Louis is a farmer, now unable to feed even his family. I've lost all the food in my house, he says. We've nothing to cook, and we're starving. The relief effort is still being hampered by the floodwaters that are cut off the southwest of the country. But as more roads become passable and more coastal communities are reached, the number of dead keeps on rising.
All right, that was a BBC report from October of 2016 about the hurricane, Hurricane Matthew, that hit Haiti and devastated it in every way. And the reason we're playing such an old clip is just to remind you, we saw it in the news day after day, the devastation. And you will recall that the Clinton Foundation claimed that Haiti was kind of their shining star, like a shining example of the relief efforts that they were involved in. You know, they always, Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton also decried the fact that the Clinton Foundation had made so much money, that Bill Clinton was making so much money speaking around the world, that there may have been connections inappropriate between Bill Clinton's speeches, the amounts, and the fact that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and on it goes. So Haiti was like the exhibit A to them of what a wonderful job the Clinton Foundation was doing in helping others. But you might recall that last fall, I did an interview that many of you listened to, you shared, thousands of you just were so compelled by this interview. It was with a gentleman who I've asked to join us again this morning. He was the former president of the Haitian Senate, and he is not the gentleman who allegedly committed suicide over the weekend, who was getting ready to testify about how dreadful the Clinton Foundation had been. In fact, I will give you his words, what Klaus Eberwein said and was going to testify to on Tuesday about the Clinton Foundation. He said, the Clinton Foundation, they are criminals, they are thieves, they are liars, they are a disgrace. That's what he said at a protest outside the Clinton Foundation headquarters in Manhattan just last year. Klaus was only 50 years old, and allegedly he killed himself, shot himself over the weekend with a gun in Miami. Well, there's a lot to catch up on, and so I've asked Bernard Sendereek to join us again this morning. Let me remind you that Bernard, again, was the former president of the Haitian Senate. He saw 13 members of his family killed in 1964 in Haiti by Duvalier. And in August of 1987, he was almost assassinated by the Haitian army. He has a deep love for his own people, a deep knowledge of economics, and certainly deep knowledge of what the Clinton Foundation has done in Haiti. Bernard, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Sandy, and good morning to everyone who is listening. My name is Bernard Sendereek, and I'm very proud of the introduction Sandy just gave me. Huh. I am here to inform you about the real situation in Haiti.
Bernard, before we talk about what's actually going on now, can we go to this story about Klaus Eberwein? Now, it says, it describes in the article I have here that he's a former Haitian government official expected to testify against alleged Clinton Foundation corruption and malpractice, found dead in Miami via gunshot wound in the head, and the death was ruled suicide. Did you know Klaus Eberwein?
No, personally, I did not know him, but I heard of him, and I followed his career, and I know about Klaus. And there are new revelations coming out now, Cindy. I don't know, as of last night, I don't know if you heard about them, about his death and what exactly might be behind it. It's really, really deep. It's really, really upsetting. And, you know, okay, so we're going to discuss it further.
Yeah, so explain. No, I did not hear any news last night. You know, to be honest, Bernard, we've had trouble finding anything about him. I've got an article from WND, and we had an article, I think, out of a Miami paper, but that's just about it. No one's talking about this, so really, I'd be very curious to know what you know.
Yes, InfoWar came in last night. There's a lawyer in Miami who found a connection between Mr. Eberwein, Klaus, and the Clinton Foundation and the organ harvesting in Haiti and the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, it's really deep. This is something I've been following for months now. I've been investigating this for months now. Of course, I'm very limited on my resources and how I can do it. But this is deep, and this is finally hitting the press right now. As a matter of fact, I have it on my Facebook page, the whole video on the interview of that lady is very disturbing. And she talks about the way he was killed in Miami and the connection between his death, the Clinton Foundation, and organ harvesting in Haiti. There is a lot to cover there, Cindy.
All right, so you just said his murder. So based on what you're reading, are you doubting this was a suicide?
I doubt it very much, very much. You know, and if you see all the research that I have done by this lawyer, this lady, And again, she is on my Facebook page, Bernard Sensorik. This is very, very disturbing. I knew about the organ that the Clinton and their cronies were involved in organ harvesting in Haiti, and I didn't have any real proof, but apparently Les Eberhin had the proof, and perhaps that was one of the disturbing parts that pushed him to actually be where he is right now. It's extremely, extremely disturbing. Sandy, if Haiti has been a laboratory of experimentation for some companies in the U.S., especially a medical company in the U.S., it's unbelievable what's going on down there.
So you knew about this before this report you're describing. You knew about organ harvesting in Haiti before this report?
Yes, I know about it. I have heard about it. We were investigating it. We were trying to get more information about it. As a matter of fact, I discussed it in last December with a Haitian official who visited me here in Miami, and we had a very long discussion for about 2 days, and I said, are you guys investigating or are capable of investigating the organ harvesting that's taking place in Haiti, especially among the young kids? They disappear, the bodies are not giving back to the parents after they died. He said, yes, there is a town not too far from Port-au-Prince. It's about maybe 50, 60 kilometers from Port-au-Prince called Tomazo. He said that very strangely, we found 59 bodies and all the kidneys had been removed. Those people went in there with their igloo ready to harvest kidneys. And we found the 59 bodies, but all of them were missing the kidneys. And I know before that it had happened in many, many places in Haiti.
Are these people?
Unbelievable.
I know. I'm just trying to take it all in, Bernard. Are these children that were otherwise healthy, or were they dying from other causes?
They were healthy, and some of them perhaps were in the hospital for, treatable disease, and all of a sudden they disappeared, and their body was snatched from Haiti. And now we found that there is a link, and you have to see that video. It's on my page again, and it's on YouTube. They just posted it on YouTube. You have to see that video about the organ harvesting in Haiti. And I know it was taking place, and I know the Clinton administration and their cronies were behind it. And now it's just hitting the press right now, the media right now. Of course, a lot of people are going to cover because it is the Clinton. But, this is really Haiti, and what is going on down there is unbelievable. Besides the theft, besides the murders, besides the unbelievable situation, the people living in cave, people, when the country had received after 2010 over $14.6 billion to the Clinton, received over $500 million to the Red Cross. The Red Cross was supposed to build a lot of housing in Haiti for the Haitians. They built 6 houses in Haiti, and they cannot explain what they have done with the $500 million. So did the Clinton. It's unbelievable. A lot of NGOs in Haiti, non-governmental organizations, okay, thousands of them in Haiti, making millions of dollars on the Haitian people. They don't even, there's 67% at 68% of that money is being spent with other people in the United States, research companies, and this very few of that money is going to the Haitian people. Like you just said.
Wow.
Some people are living in cave right now. Some people are living in the street right now. Haiti is worse off right now than it was back in 1994 when Clinton invaded the country.
Do you think then, in this recent story, are you assuming or do you know that Klaus Eberwein was going to testify about this as well?
Definitely. Definitely. You know, I think his conscience was bothering him. I think they knew that he was ready to blow up the whole thing. We've been investigating that for a long time. And actually, some of the people that actually put me to that, led me to that conclusion that there was organ harvesting in Haiti, U.S. official or former U.S. officials that were in Haiti knew about those organ transplanting and knew that it was taking place. But again, you know, they're very tight-lipped. They talk to me. They talk to somebody else. They mention a word or two, and they let you go with it. But some people actually know very much about what's going on in Haiti, and this is a big, huge scandal.
You know, let
and
me
I
just...
hope now that the U.S. government, because you cannot depend on the Haitian government to investigate anything in Haiti. They're so corrupt. Corruption is so rampant in Haiti that you cannot depend on Haitian organization or Haitian justice to actually investigate anything. It has to be done by the United States Department of Justice.
But now
Jeff Sessions has the ball in his hand. He has to investigate what's really going on in Haiti. And we have to understand what's going on in Haiti.
Just to clarify, you know, when we had our last discussion, we talked about so many things, and a lot of people are just hearing you for the first time. So let me cover some ground again, Bernard. Did you not tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the people, the powers that be in Haiti are there because of help from the Clintons? Did you say that they installed...
Definitely. The government who is there right now is a government that is a lapdog of the Clinton, okay? And Jovenel Moïse, who is the new president of Haiti, is nothing else but a puppet. He was actually the election, 21% of able voters actually voted in that election. And he won that election because of the backing of the Clinton. The backing came, most of the money came from company like Digicel, a cellular company who is making millions in Haiti every year. And part of that money is going to the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. We found out that 1 year they made over $300 million profit in Haiti, and the Clinton Foundation benefited $30 million. So they're ripping off the country, not only directly, their sweatshop in Caracol is making a lot of money. Okay, they're paying those workers 60 cents an hour. The gold mine that they have in Haiti, they have companies like Digicel, which is a cellular company. The only cellular company in Haiti is Digicel, okay, making millions and millions of dollars. Dennis O'Brien, who was giving the cellular company the right to have that cellular company in Haiti, he flies to Haiti every month or every 2 months just to pick up cash money. As a matter of fact, Haiti has the device of Haiti is called the gourd in comparison to the dollars. 3 years ago, okay, the
Bernard, I have to interrupt you because we have to take a commercial break. The music is playing, okay, but we're going to come back right to that. I'll let you finish your sentence. Okay. By the way, CNN reported in 2010, Christian Jean Amanpour, traffickers targeting Haiti's children, human organs. So this is not, Bernard is talking about something that has been known by lots of people for a very long time. This is just an amazing story. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Moses made this statement atop Mount Sinai with the specter of the Promised Land before him. After the burning bush, the Egyptian plagues, and walking through the Red Sea on dry land, Moses stood as the deliverer to lead Israel into the land promised over 400 years earlier and declared, "I don't want to take another step unless you are with me." Moses extolled God's presence above his promise. It's very easy to elevate destiny and promises over the giver of those things, but we must never allow God's promise to supplant God's presence in our lives.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exploring the Word is all about Jesus, because Jesus is on every page of the Bible, but sometimes people don't see him.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
So we're taking a microscope and finding Jesus in each book of the Bible. He's there. And Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, we're going to try to bring that out, and it will be a blessing.
Join Bert and Alex each weekday at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 3 months ago, President Trump was furious when the State Department wrongly certified that Iran was complying with its obligations under the Obama bomb deal, an accord that he had rightly savaged as a candidate. Worse yet, the new administration affirmed it as in the national security interests of the United States. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was ordered immediately to denounce Iran for conduct that was decidedly not consistent with American security, notably its support for terrorism, ballistic missile developments, and regional hegemonism. All of these activities have been greatly enabled by the legitimacy and $150 billion Tehran's mullahs got out of the deal. Incredibly, despite a last-minute, high-level internal administration slugfest yesterday, the State Department recertified Iranian compliance while once again incoherently denouncing and even sanctioning its continuing threatening behavior. There can be no excusing such a dangerous misstep this time. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
He was the UN Special Envoy to Haiti, and she was the Secretary of State.
We believe in Haiti's promise.
And together, the Clintons played prominent roles after the earthquake, as for-profit companies and aid organizations rushed in to be part of a $10 billion reconstruction program. Now, new emails between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, obtained by Clinton's Republican opponents, appear to show that those considered FOB, Friend of Bill, or using their initials, WJCHRC Friends, got special attention from the State Department. "Need you to flag when people are friends of WJC," wrote one State Department official to her counterpart at the Clinton Foundation in one of the emails provided to ABC News.
When you look at the record, people who have been contributors to the foundation or have been close with the Clintons who have benefited from Reconstruction in Haiti,
The State Department says its only goal was trying to figure out who could best get aid to quake victims as soon as possible. But even before last week's hurricane, we found tens of thousands of people still living in what was supposed to have been temporary shelter.
Do you think you'll have a permanent home at some point?
No.
And while the emails do not indicate who did or did not get a contract in Haiti, they do show what happened to those without a connection to the Clintons. Is this FOB? Asked the State Department official of the foundation. If not, they should go to a public website clearinghouse. The foundation told ABC News no special treatment was expected or given in Haiti, or anywhere, says the president.
Nothing was ever done for anybody because they were a contributor to the foundation. Nothing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that was Brian Ross, ABC News, and that's just part of his report. As you heard Brian describe, the Clintons rushed into Haiti, $10 billion. All of their friends of Bill, according to these email, were given preference by the State Department. Can you imagine? Of course, Bill Clinton just told us that wasn't true. They were never given preference. But we know what the fruit of this has been. Bernard Sandarique, the former Haitian Senate president, is with us this morning. This is his second time to be with us to describe the devastation in his country as a result of the Clinton Foundation. But let me just add this before Bernard. I turn back to Bernard. We know now that Klaus Eberwein, who was going to testify before the Haitian Senate Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, was allegedly killed himself in Miami over the weekend. And that reminded me of another story, because this is not related to the Clinton Foundation, but it is relating to the Clintons. Peter Smith, who was a GOP operative who was widely known as being on a mission to find the missing Clinton email that were lost, I think 30,000 that she said that somehow she scrubbed, and he's been on a mission to find those, and everyone knows this. He'd been working with a Wall Street Journal reporter, and he had done an interview in May with this guy and then was found in his room with his head covered with a plastic bag with helium, and they said that that was suicide. So how could we say that Klaus Eberwein wasn't a suicide, and how could we say that Peter Smith didn't commit suicide? The Wall Street person that was working with him said he was in such good spirits when they spoke, and he was probably the last person to speak to him. Didn't make sense. And why would you cover your head with a plastic bag and use helium to kill yourself? All right, so there's Peter Smith. Now we have Klaus Eberwein. Let me just hasten to add that Brian Ross is reporting about those email that were revealed about the Clinton Foundation and their relationship and working, you know, with the State Department when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Do I need to explain that that's unethical? There should be a barrier. If you're Secretary of State, you don't send contracts to your husband or your personal company. And yet that's what the Clintons did. And those email were made available because of the revelation of the Hillary Clinton's email. And so when we talk about how these email were gathered and all the nefarious ways, it's often missed that there was a lot there about incriminating things. And that gets lost because we scream and pull our hair, at least we don't, but some, about how they were obtained. And that's really not the main story. The main story is what was in those email. Well, Bernard Sandarique is with us. This morning. Bernard, I interrupted you. You were talking about the currency in Haiti, and you were explaining. And back up a little bit, if you don't mind, and tell that story.
Yes. There is a cellular company in Haiti. It was part of the pay for play. By Bill Clinton. If you don't pay Bill Clinton, you don't get to play in Haiti. And Dennis O'Brien made a deal. He owns the cellular company called Digicel. He made a deal with Bill Clinton, and he's been paying him part of the profit that he makes in Haiti every year. Now, the part going to the Clinton is about $30 million a year. We know that. But you know, this is something that's actually destroying the economy of Haiti. Mr. O'Brien, every month or every 2 months, he flies himself directly to Haiti in his private jet to pick up the money that's made by Digicel in Haiti, because that's the only cellular company actually working in Haiti. And the good, which is the currency of the country, this called the good, went from 42 goods to $1 to 68 goods to $1 because of Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Clinton, you know, actually packing up all the dollars they can in Haiti. This is unbelievable what is going on. Clinton, since the last time I talked to you, Sandy, since the last time I reported to the American people through your radio station, okay, nothing has changed in Haiti. On the contrary, it became worse, okay? The rice is still being flown from Arkansas, and Clinton's friends have the rice production of Haiti completely destroyed, okay? The rate, the tariff for the rice that was 50% tax on the rice coming to Haiti has been squeezed to 3% because of Clinton's, you know, managing the situation. They still have the Caracol sweatshop paying people 60 cents an hour, making tons of money, mass production on behalf of Target stores in the United States and other stores also throughout the world. Now they understand they're building another industrial park in close to Port-au-Prince. It's going to be run again by the Korean and people associated with Ban Ki-moon, who actually is a very close friend of the Clinton. I mean, and now the organ transplant, okay, they're making billions in organ transplant, selling Haitian organs of young people to the rich people throughout the world and in the United States. Right here in Jacksonville, they found a case, and they're investigating that case right now. You know, it's unbelievable what the Clinton have done in Haiti, and people have no ideas in the United States. The Clinton have done, they completely destroyed the country, steal the money, and they're still making millions in Haiti. Sandy, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Bernard, you told me last time that Cheryl Mills had the financial, owned the financial interest, at least was involved in an intimate way in, I believe, the factory. It was the factory, not the gold mine, right? The factory you just described, wasn't Cheryl Mills involved in that?
Yes. While Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Cheryl Mills made 20 trips every year to Haiti. Now the FBI, James Comey, they have her laptop, and they have a lot of information that they're not putting out. Are they ready to indict her and indict Hillary Clinton and indict? Because the laptop of Cheryl Mills must contain a lot of information, and it is right now in the hand of the FBI. There is a cover up everywhere about the Clinton Foundation operation, not only in Haiti, but throughout the world. This is unbelievable. The United States of America, okay, I can understand that under Obama, who sent 30,000 Haitians, they're talking about President Trump, who just had 6 months in power, okay? But they, everybody forgets that Obama was the deporter-in-chief. He returned 30,000 Haitians, deported 30,000 Haitians, to Haiti's infested cholera, okay? And he did that while Clinton was making billions in Haiti and still making billions in Haiti. What those people have done to the country is unbelievable.
Bernard,
Americans cannot digest exactly the amount of, you know, wrongdoing that the Clinton administration and the Democrats have done to the country. It's unbelievable.
Bernard, let me clarify something, because I wasn't clear. You said Obama returned 30,000 Haitians to Haiti. What is the implication of that? What are you saying?
What am I saying is that, you know, while they're supposed to be helping Haiti after the earthquake of 2010, after Matthews $30,000, 30,000 Haitians were returned to Haiti during the 8 years of Obama in Haiti-infested cholera. And, you know, those the Haitians have nothing. When they returned to Haiti, they had nothing, absolutely nothing. And now they're talking about President Trump's only extending TPS to the Haitians that are remaining here for 6 months. When they don't talk about Clinton's theft of Haiti, billions of dollars, what he's doing in Haiti, he's controlling Haiti, he's managing Haiti to proxy. His people in Haiti, okay, now the actual president, Martelly, who was the president before him, are involved also in drugs. They've been shipping drugs to America. They made millions of dollars in the drug trade, and they're being covered on the top by Bill Clinton. And this is going back to Aristide, who was returned to Haiti by Clinton in 1994 and was supposed to be the democratically elected president of Haiti. U.S. Justice Department, the DEA, they have proof that those people and every government that comes into power, actors on the drug trafficking changes. Of course, not the same actors during Aristide, because there were new actors during Martelly. Martelly's son, Olivier Martelly, apparently has a sealed indictment against him by the DEA, and thus far he has not been arrested and put in jail. They just arrested someone in Haiti, a senator of Haiti called Guy Philippe. The trial was here. He was just giving 9 years. He has given to the DEA and the U.S. Justice Department tons of names of people that are involved in drugs in Haiti, and yet the government has to act on it. Of course, I'm giving the government a break, because it's only 6 months, and Trump has a lot of problems, different problems. But the time has come where President Trump has to understand he has a debt toward Haiti and the Haitians. I personally, Cindy, in your radio station, I really went out for him. I really destroyed Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation for him, helped him to become president of the United States. And all we ask is justice in Haiti. All we ask is that the U.S. look at Haiti and investigate some of the crimes that the Clinton have committed in Haiti. That's all we ask. We understand that President Trump said that he is the president of the United States. He's not president of the whole world. We understand that. We agree with that. That's fine. But at least name a very good ambassador to Haiti. An ambassador who knows about the Haitian problem. And I actually applied for that job with President Trump. I told him I was interested in that job, because if someone knows Haiti and can go there as U.S. ambassador and clean some of the mess that the Clinton have done in Haiti, I can do it. I have the guts to do it. I'm fearless. I don't see anyone. And if given that position, I can do it. I'm asking the public right now to write to the White House.
Bernard, we're out of time. Bernard Sandarik, yes. We heard what you said, and this will be posted. We'll share it, and we appreciate your service to your country and to this one, too. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.